Are you ready to take your gardening game to the next level this year? If you're anything like my husband and me, you've been getting your hands dirty in the garden, learning the ropes, and dreaming of a bountiful harvest. Well, let me tell you about Coast of Maine Planting Soil, our secret weapon for a thriving garden. Everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. Their living soils are carefully crafted to enhance soil structure, provide essential nutrients, and promote robust plant growth. With a diverse portfolio of products for all your gardening needs, they're rooted in sustainable practices and a commitment to organic excellence. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. The products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. Their products make organic gardening simple, approachable gardening for everyone. So let's get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. Coast of Maine, like the state with an E.com.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. I'm so happy to partner with ByHeart because their goal is to create a future where all parents feel amazing about feeding their baby, no matter how they do it. Their mission is simple: make the best infant formula in the world. Let me tell you a little bit more. ByHeart's patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk by including the two most abundant proteins in breast milk, plus whole and partially broken down proteins for a nutritious blend that's gentle on tummies. ByHeart ran a clinical trial where they compared their formula to a leading infant formula, improved benefits like less spit up, easier digestion, and so much more. ByHeart is leading the ways in a lot of ways. They're the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. It's the only new infant formula brand to add a comparison to breast milk in their clinical trial. And ByHeart is the first infant formula company to receive Clean Label Project's Purity Award. So are you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code MINIMALIST for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Moms Podcast. I'm Diane. I'm a mother of three living in Columbus, Ohio. I'm trying to make room in my life for what matters by getting rid of the clutter and living life with purpose. I hope you join me on the journey to think more and do with less. Join me today as I speak with Elizabeth Presta about all things regarding a simpler birth plan. Elizabeth is a licensed doula through Dona International and has been practicing since 2013. She is passionate about women's healthcare and is continually learning. Today, she's here to explain how we can simplify the birth experience, create a simple birth plan, how a doula can help us throughout the process, and some of her suggestions for packing the hospital bag. But before we get to the conversation, I wanted to encourage you to leave a rating and review if you haven't done so yet. Leaving a rating and review on iTunes is the best way you can help this podcast succeed and grow. Again, thank you to everyone who supports the Minimalist Moms by listening, leaving rating and reviews, or just following along on social media. I so appreciate that you're here. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining me today on the Minimalist Moms podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. I have been listening to your podcast for a while now, and I just love that you interview women with such a variety of topics. That's kind of what I try to do here on the Minimalist Moms podcast. So I'm excited to talk to you today about birth plans, and you're a doula, so I can't wait to hear more about that. But before we get into our conversation, I'll just allow you to introduce yourself a little bit more to the listeners.
Yeah, so my name's Elizabeth Presta. I'm a certified birth doula and a certified life coach. I'm a first-time mom. My baby girl is 8 months old. So I was practicing as a doula. I first started, 9 years ago, and just kind of dabbled into it. And then I just kind of really realized that that was my passion, was empowering women to have a voice in their births, the more stories that I heard. And so I really started to pursue that more the last couple of years and just have absolutely loved it, and started my podcast as well, just to try to get more information out, because podcasts are just such amazing platforms to, to bring on guests, to have great conversations, and to spread the messaging that you have. So I've just been doing all things birthing and motherhood the last couple of years.
I think that's so amazing. I've been in the delivery room with my sister before, and I can see how there's an adrenaline rush even for me, and I'm not the one giving birth. So I can see just that could be something that you just feel passionate towards, especially because, well, now you're a mom. So I feel like, has that changed in you now that you're a mom? Do you feel even more of a desire to be in there?
I don't know if I feel more of a desire to be in there. I do. I'm just finding it harder to leave my daughter right now, to be at births. I get anxiety leaving her. But once I'm there, I am able to focus on the laboring person. Yeah. But it's definitely given me way more compassion and empathy, which I feel like I was really good at both of those before, but going through it, and I had such a very hard, difficult labor. So now when I'm in a birth and they're, and I see them in pain, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel you. Like, I'm so sorry. You know, like it's definitely given me just a lot more compassion, and it's given me more of a drive because of my experience, just to empower people to advocate for themselves and to stick up for themselves, because I knew what I was getting into and I picked my support team very carefully. So I knew going into the birth that I was going to feel supported, but if I had been with any other provider, I would have ended up in a C-section. The doctor tried to put me in a C-section and the midwife stood up for me and everything was fine. So me knowing my rights going into it is the only reason that I was able to have a vaginal birth and to have the delivery that I did.
Yeah. And I think this is the minimalist mom, so we talk obviously about minimalism, but I also like to talk to people about intentional living and what that looks like in their life. And I think with creating your own birth plan, it really does take some of that power back that maybe is put on the doctors, which maybe I don't want to say it's right or wrong depending on what you choose to do with birthing, but I think there is something really empowering in the way that we can just be really intentional about the things that we want, or just, I know we can't always decide those things in the moment, but at least letting that known to someone that can help us advocate for ourselves when maybe we're not so able to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with that. And I know that, like, I know you said like there's really no right or wrong in there, but there's never anything wrong with educating yourself. Education is power. So the more educated you are going into anything, the more empowered you're going to feel making decisions and being a part of that. And I know we'll get into some more of the birth plan stuff and why that's important, but I think that you can still be educated and you can still go into your birth plan being like, whatever happens, happens. I'm just going to go with the flow. And that's great. A lot of people go into it like that. But again, just knowing things like your rights and what, how important informed consent is. And, just like if different situations arise, like what do you really want, and being informed in those situations.
No, 100%. Well, actually, that kind of segues us into one of my first questions I have for you. And it's about just simplifying the birth experience. And I guess, what is one of the first steps that we can take in order to create just a simpler birth plan? What does that look like? And then do you think that we tend to overcomplicate it?
I don't know if we necessarily overcomplicate it. I think that you can, but one way to kind of create a simple birth plan, and I love there's some great formats out there that have like different pictures or different things on it. When you have pages of a birth plan that you're bringing with you to a birth, people are not going to look at it. They're not going to be flipping through. They're not going to be reading it. So I always tell people, keep it on one page, bullet points, and have that conversation with your provider beforehand, making sure that they're on board with everything. And then having somebody with you. So whether it's the doula or your spouse, just whatever support person with you, they need to know your plan to help remind hospital staff. Because exactly what you said, when you're in it, you're like, I don't know. Like I'm trying to like survive right now. I'm not trying to make decisions. And sometimes, you know, there can be kind of chaotic things that happen in the birthing room. So having your support person know your plan and having talked to them about everything. But when you're coming there with paragraphs written out, like the nurses the hospital that I work at, the nurses are amazing. They have such an amazing hospital staff, they have a lot of other patients, and you never know, like sometimes they're understaffed or sometimes whatever, like they're trying to like make sure that you're okay. And they want to do the best that they can for you, but sitting there reading paragraphs just really isn't convenient. Or, you know, they're not gonna be like, oh wait, did she want this? Let me read this like full report. So I recommend breaking it into sections and just having a few bullet points for each. So during labor, post-birth, in case of induction, and in case of cesarean, and just having like a couple of points for each thing. And I think it's important to talk to your provider about what's standard practice at your hospital. So there's things on there that you don't have to put on your birth plan to kind of keep it more simple. So I know that, which this isn't the case actually for most of the hospitals in the United States, but the hospital that I work at, birthing with the midwives there, it's standard practice to delay cord clamping. It's standard practice to put the baby immediately skin to skin and allow them to stay there for an hour. And yeah. So those are things that you don't have to put on your birth plan if that's something that they already do. So just kind of like having those conversations. So you, and that's, it's good for you to know, like once you have the baby, what are they going to be doing to your baby? What is the hospital policies there? Mm-hmm. And then you can include things you want or things you want to decline or whatever in the birth plan, but putting a bunch of things in there that they already do and already have, it's just, again, kind of taking up more space and nobody's going to sit there and read pages of a birth plan.
Yeah. And if I am newly pregnant or maybe are pregnant with their second or third or fourth or whatnot, and I want to start diving into a birth plan and I haven't done that before, podcasts are a great resource, like you said, but is there a book that you recommend, or I don't even know where to begin?
I wouldn't say a book. I would honestly just Google birth plan formats. But most of them, like I said, are like ones that you can print out and fill out, but then they're pages. And so the whole point of a birth plan is to know your options. So maybe you didn't know that delayed cord clamping is an option. Maybe you didn't know that intermittent monitoring is an option, because that's something that's really, there's a lot of research and studies on that as well. So looking at the formats, and then you have to basically research each thing to decide what you want. But one of my absolute favorite resources is the Evidence-Based Birth podcast. And their website and podcast is amazing. So you can look up literally anything. You can look up delayed cord clamping, and they have a whole podcast episode on it. And the reason I love them is because it's completely unbiased. Because if somebody tells you ever there's no risks with that, that makes me very, very weary. Like if they're like, there's no risks to clamping the cord right away, or there's no risks to delaying cord clamping, because there actually are. And you're the one who has to decide whether that's right for you or not. So going through and actually researching, I know it takes time, but I mean, you think about it, like we prepared for this podcast episode, you prepare for meetings, you prepare for all different sorts of things in your life. So taking some time to prepare for your birth can be so beneficial, because then at least going in again, when decisions are being made, you're a part of that. They're not being made for you. You're a part of the decision making, and you have a say, and you know the research. And so you can also be like, you know, these are the risks and the benefits, and here is where I stand on it.
Yeah. I'll just be honest here. So I'm thinking back to, I have three children, and I'm thinking back to my experiences. And for me, I'm the kind of person that I don't want to know too much, because then I'm going to go down all the paths of like, well, what if this happens? And that freaks me out. So I'm like, I'm just going to go with the flow, and then whatever happens, I'll make decisions then.
I understand what you're saying. And so here's, I guess, my take on it. So yeah. I think that it's still important to like, think of the few things that are like absolutes for you. Yeah. Like, this is what I absolutely want. So mm-hmm. even like, let's say you really wanted a vaginal birth. There's things to look at. Like, what is the C-section rate of your hospital? If you're birthing at a hospital with a 40% C-section rate, you want to change, you know, just like things like that, because you might not get your favorite doctor. You might not get, you know, like you don't know how things are going to go. And those show a lot about what's going on. And I do have a problem with people, I guess, like, especially in the unmedicated birthing world, and like, you need to have this plan and everything. I usually call them birthing wishes, because the whole point of it to me is knowing your options, but plans change. No birth is the same. Like, I don't know anyone whose birth went exactly according to a plan or exactly how envisioned, or not mine at all. Like, my birth, I definitely wanted to try for an unmedicated birth. I mean, I've taken so many birthing courses. I've done it all. Been a doula for years. And my birth did not go at all as planned. My daughter was stuck. She was coming out sideways. I had a swollen cervical lip. Mm-hmm. I was in puking all over, like, for hours. We tried every position, the tub, the shower, everything. And just things were not progressing very well. Mm-hmm. I think at one point it was like within 6 hours, I had dilated 2. And I was literally throughout that whole 6 hours crying in pain. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to get the epidural. And I felt empowered making that decision because I know the pros and cons. Yeah. It wasn't like, you're going to get the epidural and then these horrible things are going to happen. It's like, no, like studies show, like I said, everything has risks and benefits. But when you dive into it, the majority of the time, the risks are so slim that... you know, like you have to make that choice. And it's like, okay, is there a 0.002% chance of this thing happening? But sometimes you get providers in that use scare tactics, right? That they're going to be like, if you don't do this, I'll take your water breaking for an example. I was at a birth once where her water had broken and the provider was basically pressuring her into getting a C-section because it had been 12 hours and she hadn't progressed very much. And he's like, if you don't do this, your baby's going to get an infection and could die. Mm-hmm. When you actually numbers, that's so far from the truth. Like, you have up to 3 days to do it, but that also includes a cervical exam. So every single time they're going in to check, they're putting you at risk for infection. So if they were to just kind of back off, let her body do what it needed to do, she has way more of a timetable. But also, again, knowing those exact numbers, is 1% a big enough risk for you? It might be for some people. Some people might say, I want a 0% chance. Yeah. And some people might be like, that's so slim that I'm going to give my body more time. And then you feel empowered making those decisions. So that's why I think you can be go with the flow, but maybe have a few absolutes, even if it's just, I know that my doctor's, you know, very supportive of vaginal births. And I know that my doctor is very supportive of unmedicated and medicated. So I can go as long as I want this way. And then if I decide to get the epidural, I can. So just having those conversations, like, to me, that's the whole point of the birth plan. So it, you have those conversations with your provider, but you can change your mind. And that's why it's so important to have supportive people around you so that they continue to support you. Because after I got the epidural, I was like, this is the best thing in the world. Why would anyone ever do it without it? And then afterwards, I had regret. Yeah, I was like, I feel like I could have done it. Mm-hmm. I could have done this. And I had my team around me being like, Liz, like, you know that an epidural can be used as a tool, and like, you needed it in that moment. You really did. And, mm-hmm. and so again, it gives me that power back of like, holy crap. Like, my labor was rough. Mm-hmm. And even if it wasn't, like, that's still my choice. And yeah. I did the best that I could for myself and my daughter in that moment.
How does a doula help simplify? You mentioned, like, especially at the end when you were having that regret, I feel like that would be so great to have someone who is really educated and who has known you throughout this process. So how would you say that the doula helps simplify? And then how do we reach out to a doula, and what are the pros and cons?
Mm-hmm. So I'll start with the pros and cons. So I don't think there's any cons with having a doula. Because again, it's something that if you research, if you have a doula present, your chance of a cesarean decreases by 28%. Your chance of spontaneous labor increases. Your chance of other unnecessary interventions decreases. They actually did a study on women who had a doula present and 20 years later went back and like interviewed them. And people who had a support person there had more favorable opinions about their birth and their partner. So we actually help your spouse to make them look like a rock star and a hero during the birth. So, I mean, I think everything's very, very pro there. But how doulas help kind of simplify it is taking some of that legwork out for you. So I'm telling you everything that you need to do if you don't have one. But like when I have clients come to me, I basically discuss and I have all the stuff there for them. Like this is the research, it's all here. So you don't have to spend hours and hours on your own doing it and helping you come up with that plan very simply, going over it and being like, okay, we can take this off, we can take this off, maybe add this on and clean everything up. And then we bring a lot of the things with us so that you don't have to. So I always tell people to set the mood in the room. Bring LED candles, put on a Bluetooth speaker, dim the lights, close the shades, and create this calming, relaxing environment because hospitals can be chaotic. Mm-hmm. And your body doesn't like to relax in chaos. Animals go into a quiet spot away from everyone in the wild to give birth. And if something happens, stop. Their labor will stop and they will move and continue. And hospitals are kind of this chaotic environment. But we bring everything for you to set that tone. And then postpartum wise, going through and helping you kind of go through that process of going through your birth and being at peace with it. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, every single form of birth is a valid option. And not everyone's plan goes accordingly. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for you to know how freaking amazing you are at the end of the day and to have somebody reassure that to you. And your partner can, but how many times have you had your partner tell you, or you tell your partner, do this, do this, do this, but then they hear it from somebody else and they're like, oh, I heard this thing today. And you're like, I've been telling you that for years. Like, how come you didn't listen to me? So having kind of that outside perspective of somebody to go over it with you and to kind of help you grieve or to just kind of go through that process, because birth can be so traumatic, even if everything was perfect. Maybe you didn't know it was going to be like that. So yeah, I'd say that that's really where we come into the picture. And there's so many ways you can find a doula. You can go on, so I'm certified through DONA, D-O-N-A International, and you can go on there and look at their website. They have doulas in the United States, or even internationally on there. Also Doula Match, I believe it's .net or .org is another one. And you can find doulas with all different price ranges on there. The only thing I would say to look out for is certification maybe and experience, because you don't technically have to be certified to be a doula. But that's something that maybe is important to you and maybe not. Maybe it's like this person wasn't certified, but she's been doing it for 10 years and my best friend used her and loved her. Yeah. So there's not like a doula regulation type thing that you have to follow. If you are certified, you do have to follow a code of ethics and maintain your certification. So DoulaNet though would be a place where you can find them on all different price ranges depending on what you can afford. Also checking with your insurance to see if they will cover one, because some places do.
In 2021, it's definitely okay to talk about our mental health and happiness. 2020 was interesting, so let's just do a mental health check-in. How are you really, and what do you need right now? Humans are not meant to keep everything inside. It makes us sick, and therapy helps. But what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help, or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, not dealing well with stress. Whatever it is that you need, don't be ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better, because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 24 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is really about. See if it's for you, because you are your greatest asset. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Minimalist Mom listeners get 10% off the first month at betterhelp.com/minimalist. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/minimalist.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you more about mylifeinabook.com. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you choose to ask. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. One of the challenges I face with being a minimalist is wanting to be as intentional as possible about the things that I am buying. I do understand that I live in a world where I can't completely avoid purchases. There are birthdays, there are holidays, there are the celebrations. But if I can be more intentional about gift giving, it's so important to me. I've had the experience to gift one to my mom, and being able to gift that to her seemed more significant than something that wasn't as sentimental to her. So if this sounds like a gift that you'd be interested in giving, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST for 10% off today. If you're planning to cut back on alcohol this dry January, Recess Zero Proof Craft Mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. Recess has meticulously crafted familiar favorites such as Lime Margarita and Grapefruit Paloma, allowing you to savor the flavors and experience of these cocktails without the alcohol content. Throughout January, my listeners can take advantage of a special offer and get 15% off the Recess Mocktail Sampler Pack at takearecess.com/minimalist. Every can of Recess boasts a lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients and a calorie count of 25 or less. It's a guilt-free option for winding down during dry January. Again, whether it's the end of a demanding day, a dinner gathering, or simply a moment to unwind, these mocktails are the perfect choice. You won't miss the alcohol, and you certainly won't miss dealing with a hangover. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/minimalist so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
So you mentioned the doula. They'll bring things to set the mood, but I also want to talk about just simple things that we should pack for the hospital. What are just main things that you would tell someone to put in their bag as they're preparing? Because I felt like for my first, I prepared a lot more than I needed with my third. So what should be maybe an essential on the list in your bag?
Well, I think comfortable clothes to wear afterwards, because sometimes people will be like, oh, I'm going to put my yoga pants on. And it's like, you just gave birth. You might not want to. And you don't need tons of changes of clothes. So people tend to overpack. And I would say just have your two changes of clothes in there. And sometimes people do end up staying longer. So maybe have a backup bag at home that just in case you're staying longer, it's easy for somebody to grab and bring to you. So they're not like going through all of your drawers. Maybe just have some extra outfits set out at home in case you end up staying longer that they can bring to you. So I would say just like a couple of bags, see what all your hospital has. I ended up using everything at the hospital. I used their pump, all of their healing products. Like I had my own at home and I had packed them, but just you're not thinking about it after birth. You know, you're just like using everything that they have. So I would say just basically the change of clothes. The only thing you really need is clothes for the baby to bring home and clothes for you. And a few layers, especially for your partner, because a lot of times hospitals can be freezing. So a sweatshirt to pull over and things like that. Even I know some people pack like breastfeeding pillows and everything like that. I mean, if you really want to, you can, but it's definitely not necessary. You can just ask, can I get a couple extra pillows? That type of stuff does really take up room. So you can really condense it to a small bag. I do say bring snacks because the vending machines at hospitals aren't always great and the cafeterias aren't always open. Mm-hmm. So snacks that aren't smelly. So if you're in labor and your partner's really hungry and just wants to grab something, a snack that's not smelly and snacks for you. Mm-hmm. I know like after birth, sometimes the meals come at inconvenient times or, you know, you're starving and they're not bringing food yet from the cafeteria or whatever. So making sure that you have snacks on hand and a few random things like a ponytail and chapstick.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, chapstick for sure. That's a great one.
Yeah. A lot of like heavy breathing, your lips get really dry, but yeah, I mean, you really can minimize it because it can be overwhelming. Like I read so many lists and I'm like, am I going on a 2-week vacation here? Like what is happening? And there's clothes that you can rewear. Bring one pair of sweatpants that you can wear the next couple days.
Oh, that's what I did. Yeah. I was going to say my essential is a robe. I was just like, this is so convenient for nursing if you're going to nurse, and it was cozy.
Mm-hmm. And I told my partner where like everything was too. I'm like, just so you know, the chapstick and honey sticks are in this right here. Like compartmentalizing is very important too. So yeah. How I packed my, I had like a small bag and then a backpack. In the backpack, I had chapstick, honey sticks. Everything I needed in labor was in one compartment. Like, I wasn't going to ask him to dig through the suitcase to try to find my chapstick. So kind of having it organized is very helpful.
No, that's great advice. I hope that this episode is beneficial to people that are having their second or third and want to go down this path this time. I just listening to you talk, I feel like it would be so beneficial, honestly, even if I have a fourth, to have a doula in the room with me. So I appreciate you sharing all this, but what is a final word of encouragement you may have?
Yeah. Well, for me, I feel like the most important thing is that you are feeling validated and heard in your experience and by your providers. So whether you choose to have a doula there or not, if you can afford to or not, sometimes that's not even a choice. And having your support person, your partner, who's going to be there with you on board as well, talking with them through everything. But the biggest thing I think is if you are going to preparing for your next birth, make sure that you're feeling heard at your appointments. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you are feeling validated in how you're feeling. Make sure that your doctor isn't like, oh yeah, we do that, and just dismiss it. And that will set up like a huge tone for your birth. So if you're looking to have a VBAC, make sure you're with a VBAC friendly provider. If you're looking to have a water birth, obviously, then you have to be somewhere that allows these things and that they don't just say that they do, that they actually do. So I want to leave you guys with an acronym to remember, not just for birth, but I mean, you can apply this to like anything medically as well. And it's called BRAIN. So anytime there's anything that comes up, remember the acronym BRAIN, and it's what are the benefits? What are the risks? What are the alternatives? What is my intuition telling me? And what happens if we do nothing? Okay. And I don't want to forget that intuition part, because you live in your body 24/7, and providers are great at what they do. Like, I cannot perform surgery. I don't deliver babies. Mm-hmm. Providers are trained and amazing at what they do, but they see the same things over and over, and you know your body. So listening to that, even with you being like, no, I need the epidural now. Mm-hmm. And that was the right choice for you, because like you said, like, who knows, maybe if you didn't, the baby, like epidurals actually do help you relax and help the baby come out faster sometimes. Yeah. And that could have been exactly what your body needed. Mm-hmm. So that nurse being like, no, you could do it. I'd be like, this is what I need right now. And don't be afraid to advocate for yourself. You can ask, you can switch providers at 36 weeks. You can ask for a new nurse, ask to see the charge nurse and be like, listen, I need a new nurse. And if you don't feel comfortable, make sure that your partner or whoever is there is comfortable doing that for you. So, I mean, I just want to say that, I mean, again, all forms of birthing are very valid, and however you become a mom is valid, and you are amazing, because motherhood is a trip and it is so hard, and you are absolutely amazing for taking that path.
That's a great word of advice. Well, Elizabeth, where can listeners find you if they want to connect and listen to your podcast?
Yeah, so you can find me at eSandoz on Instagram, and my podcast is called Miraculous Mamas.
Perfect. Well, we are going to ask two quick final questions. And the first one is, what is something that you're simplifying right now, aka what is your minimalist moment of the week?
Oh my goodness. So one thing that I've been simplifying is my closet. Does that count as an answer?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm doing okay. Yeah. How's that going for you?
Good. I mean, it's been a slower process, but I've gotten rid of like 8 garbage bags of clothes, which I didn't even know there was 8 garbage bags of clothes in there. And then my closet was still full. So it's like, holy crap, you had a lot of organizing to do. And I'm excited actually to get rid of more. There's like such a good feeling when you start to kind of purge things, and then you're like, what else can I get rid of? Like, we don't need this, we don't need this. So yeah, I feel like I'm starting to get on a roll here, because it's something that is long overdue.
It's nice to really curate that closet to things that fit you, that you love, that you feel good in, because I think it really simplifies getting ready each day. I know that the majority of my closet, I look decent in. So yes. It makes it so much easier. All right. My last question for you is, what is something that you can't stop talking about? And this can be in regards to simplicity, but it also can just be something that you love talking about.
Birth. Anytime I get the chance to just like talk about birth with people, I absolutely love it. And advocating for your rights, because for me, it goes so much further than birth. Because if you're not listened to in your birthing experience, you kind of take that into motherhood. Like, you're doubting yourself in birth, and then you're doubting yourself in motherhood. You're doubting yourself, you know, in bigger decisions in life. But just advocating for yourself and health in general, I've just heard a lot of stories, and I think it's just so important to push for yourself and getting the help that you need, whether it's mental health or physical health. So once I get on a roll with that, I just like go down a huge rabbit hole of, again, like even insurance and access. And, you know, it's like, hey, these things really benefit you, but most people can't afford them, but insurance doesn't cover them. So how is this like even helpful? So just everything kind of in that realm, I could just talk for days about.
Yeah. Well, no. And again, you have such a wonderful podcast with just so many different guests that present so many different options of information. So I highly recommend them coming over to the Miraculous Mamas podcast. And I appreciate you for coming on to my show today.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
What did you think of the episode? Have you used a doula in the past, or have you written your own birth plan? Like I said in the conversation, even if you haven't done this previously, maybe it's something you consider as you have your second, third, fourth, and baby. I'd love to know your thoughts. I invite you to keep the conversation going at minimalistmomspodcast.com. There you'll find links to the Instagram account, Facebook page, and where you can find me all around the web. Thank you for joining up on this journey. I wish you a lovely week as you think more and do with less.